Victor Hoffman set aside his binoculars with a grimace and a sigh. After hours holding still in a blind, his back was killing him. He wanted more than anything to reach over his head and have a giant stretch, but that would be seen by the dog. The object of his attention was a brindle pit bulldog across the ravine. The young adult dog looked very much out of place in the thick woods. His short cropped ears and fine coat of fur marked him as a domestic, not wild animal. The dog was resting easily, however, as if very much at home in the evergreen forest. The very fact that the dog was a domestic animal in this wild setting was what made it of interest to the scientist. Hoffman sighed again. Dark, very dark clouds were gathering to the south. Carefully, so as not to let the dog see his movement, he backed down from his tree blind and struck off on a fairly well-marked game trail. Reaching an opening in the timber, Hoffman paused to watch the towering black thunderclouds drop their loads of moisture on the peaks across the valley. Moments and sights like this kept the professor coming out to do field work far better left to his undergraduates. At 62, even though he was trim and fit, living in a tent for weeks at a time each summer and fall involved larger and larger doses of ibuprofen. By the time he reached his camp, his mind had one plan of action. Coffee. He stepped into his tarp-covered kitchen and took up the water container. Eyeing the darkening sky, he figured he had just enough time to make it to the river and back before all hell broke loose. As he walked, he noticed how quiet it had become. The entire forest was holding its breath in anticipation of the coming deluge. Rain was nothing unusual in the western half of Washington State, but here in the coastal mountains, it often came in epic proportions. In defiance of the growing darkness, the sun broke through one last time, shooting low rays through the firs, cedars, and hemlocks lining the river. The golden light looked almost solid as it hung before him in bars between the tree trunks. He reached his beach, a bar of sand barely 2 feet wide tucked into the slick black rocks along the river's edge. A dozen feet away on the opposite shore, there were several yards of sand and gravel between the water and the tree line. But on this side, the bank dropped away quickly, and the water ran swift and deep. This served his purpose well, though, enabling him to drop the can straight down, filling it rapidly without getting any bottom sand in it. As the container filled, Hoffman glanced downstream at the opposite shore. The dog was standing hock deep in the water, 100 yards away, staring back at him. The sun was slanting in from behind, backlighting the animal, forming a bright halo around its fur. Hoffman drew in a quick breath. He had not wanted the dog to see him. Having left it sleeping beside the fallen and rotting tree trunk it appeared to call home, he had not expected to see it by the river. The water container, now full, began to sink, pulling Hoffman's hand into the icy water. He straightened up quickly and watched with a grimace as the dog moved hastily out of the river and into the heavy woods. Victor Hoffman was a research biologist with a particular interest in the impact of domestic animals on the natural environment. His current area of study focused on the lifespan of feral dogs, domestic dogs living without dependence on humans for food, shelter, or social bonds. Unlike cats, which return with relative ease to an independent life in the wild, very few dogs survive without direct or indirect human intervention. While it was an intense struggle to find subject dogs living with no trace of human assistance, it was Victor Hoffman's forte, and his unique papers, while often criticized by peers for their weak numerical basis, had found sufficient audience to make him an authority in the field. His current research focused on solitary dogs living in remote locations, and thereby unable to participate in group hunting or scavenging techniques. A decade spent carefully cultivating relationships with loggers and park rangers across the western United States had paid off. Repeated inquiries had produced 2 very lucky finds so far this year.